Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, Psalter 348, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the prophet Isaiah and there of the 6th chapter. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a tale tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this Lord's Day that thou wast granted the privilege and the opportunity to come up to thy house, and by renewal with our unclean lips as a people to draw nigh unto thee, to come with all our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, and with our sins. May it please thee to grant a little of what we have heard out of thy holy word, that the prophet Isaiah was given to see thee upon that glorious throne, surrounded by the angels, and with their wings they covered their face, they covered their feet, and with two they were given to fly, and they cried out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That is so necessary each time when we attempt to draw nigh unto thee. Then it is so evident the necessity of the work of thy Holy Spirit. And then in Isaiah the prophet, then he became so humble, and he has declared, Woe unto me, a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among such a people. But then, Lord, then one of those seraphims has taken an altar, a coal off the altar, and touched his lips, and his iniquity was purged. That is also necessary concerning our prayers. And then the Lord has given the prophet a command, and Lord, it was such a solemn command that he was called to speak, but that the hearts of that people would be hardened, their ears shut, and their eyes closed, and that the judgments would come. Lord, wilt thou remember us and our children in mercy in these solemn times where thy judgments are so low upon the earth? And who takes it to heart, and who was humbled there under, who was given to repent. Lord, thou still hast a remnant amongst us. We humbly ask thee that thou may richly bless thy word in this evening hour, where thou granteth once more that we may place ourselves under thy eternal testimony. Wilt thou impress upon all of our hearts that each Sabbath day which thou hast allotted to us, we only receive once, and that is also each opportunity to come up to thy house. Lord, thou knowest that if thou doth not work, that we are forever lost, that we are forever undone. And to that end, in this evening, as that heavenly potter, may it please thee to pick up lumps of clay and place them upon the potter's wheel of free and sovereign grace to, in beginning, a form a vessel for thy honor and for thy glory. Well, thou convert us as thou doth convert all thy people. Thou art still gathering thy church, and thou wast never promised thou can do all things, but thou wast never promised in thy word that thou shalt work in the places of wickedness and of vanity, but thou wast promised to work where thy word may be proclaimed. May it please thee to do it in this evening hour, that there may be those that may leave thy house so differently than that they have come. And it is true, we cannot leave the same, but that it may be the wonders of thy free and sovereign grace taken from that broad way and placed upon that narrow way. And then we shall be given to see our great danger. And Lord, where thou hast begun that work, wilt thou further it? Wilt thou strengthen it? Wilt thou lead further into the mysteries of salvation and given to experience that call, that cleansing call, the merits of thy beloved Son, that it may be applied? Bless the manifold means of grace in the church. Help the consistory, each in their office, to that end. May there be many errands in hers. Bless the labors on the Sabbath day, during the week, the instruction of the youth, the catechism classes, confession of faith class, and the visits. Bless thy word in the midst of the family circles. Bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou remember all those that labor therein? Do grant traveling mercies from day to day. Wilt thou remember the school board and their weighty and responsible task also when they hope to meet in this week? We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee, the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission work, also our mission field, Bible translators, and those that bring thy word to the far corners of the earth, many times with difficulties, impossibilities. Well, to make a way when there is no way. The labors are many, the labors are few. May it please thee in thy favor to grant more servants for thy vineyard, a mission work for our mission field, and also more teachers for our schools. Remember the nations of the earth in a special way, that nation that is experiencing war. Then once more on this day, then we commend that people unto thee with their great needs, their manifold needs, with their sorrow, with their afflictions, when they are overwhelmed. May they be given to cry unto thee, and that also this war may be used, that many sinners may be drawn unto thee. Remember our poor nation that sinks away under the hardness of the heart. Remember all in high authority. Remember our province. Remember the premier and all those that stand at his side. Remember the governments of the cities, of the towns, also of our town. Lord, remember our community. Bless our community with a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. By renewal we commend unto thee the father and mother, whom thou wast blessed with two little children, ah, Lord. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou remember, wilt thou humble them, grant them strength for the day. May their eyes be upon thee. May they both be born for thy honor and for thy glory. Wilt thou remember the little son who was scheduled for eye surgery in this week? Wilt thou guide the hand of the physician that it may be blessed for his natural eyesight? Above all, Lord, in his young life, may it please thee to grant that spiritual eyesight, grant him the tender fear of the Lord. Wilt thou remember his parents, his siblings? May the prayers be multiplied, the calling sanctified. Remember the old father with that dreaded disease and a serious condition. Then once more we commend him unto thee for body and soul. May he together with his dear wife, may they be given to cry mightily unto thee for the saving of their souls. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones? Remember all the residents in Bethesda with those that may lovingly care for them. May it please thee to pour out thy spirit in a rich measure upon young and old. Also in that place, we commend unto thee widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children to the grave, to continue to uphold and remember them. Remember the handicapped ones. Thou knowest the difficulties, undoubtedly at times discouraged, Many times there can be questions, but wilt thou help, may their eyes be upon thee and impress upon their hearts that it shall only be for a time, and that there is one thing needful, and that is to be converted unto thee. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens, remember the family circles. May love and faithfulness abound between husbands and wives. Wilt thou remember parents and children, what has been separated? Bring it together, O Lord. Do bless all of our family circles, and may thy word more and more have a central place. When it is not so, may it become so, because when we despise thy holy word, then we can never expect thy blessing, although thou dealest not according to the sins of the children of men. But thou hast written in thy word, those that honor me I will honor, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Wilt thou remember those that are struggling with temptations and with addictions, O Lord, do help to deliver them. May they be given to use the means. Then once more on this Sabbath day, then we humbly ask of thee for thy gracious help. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou remember all the hearers, from the youngest to the oldest? May it please thee to go from bench to bench and from heart to heart. Leave none of us cold, untouched, or lukewarm. But may thy word not only enter our ears, may it enter into our hearts, Lord. Pour out then thy Holy Spirit upon us and our children. That is our only hope and our only expectation. Although there can be many discouragements, Lord, may we not be given to resemble that people of whom we have heard out of thy holy word, unto whom the prophet Isaiah was sent, that it would be for the hardening of the hearts, and that it would be for their judgment. But may it please thee to remember us and our dear children as we hasten to that never-ending eternity, to remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 15, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim, in the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. And what follows, Psalter 15, the three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 36, the question and answers 99 and 100. Question 99, what is required in the third commandment? Answer, that we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God, no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshiped by us, and be glorified in all our works, words, and works. Question 100, is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? Answer, it undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore, he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Lord's Day 36, the third commandment, the proper use of God's name. Four thoughts. In the first place, what the Lord's name embraces. Secondly, what the Lord's name requires. Thirdly, what the Lord's name forbids. And fourthly, what the Lord's name threatens. The third commandment, the proper use of God's name. What the Lord's name embraces, what the Lord's name requires, what the Lord's name forbids, and what the Lord's name threatens. Thus first, what the Lord's name embraces. Beloved congregation, when by renewal in this evening hour that we hope to stand at the foot of Mount Sinai and hear the Lord speak his holy law, namely the third commandment, then we must remember that the law has been given by the Lord for a threefold purpose. In the context of the catechism, then it is in the part of gratitude that the true child of God may hear that rule whereby he is to order his life not to merit salvation, but in the part of thankfulness And then we read later in question and answer 115, the purpose that he may be humbled, that he may flee to Christ, and that the prayers may be multiplied. But the law is also given for the uncovering of the sinner, that by his grace, by the work of the Spirit, we may come to a knowledge of our sin. And then an other purpose, that it may be as a schoolmaster to Christ. And now, when already we have heard the first and the second commandment, may I ask you, congregation, what have been your thoughts and your exercises concerning the first two? Because then we have heard that we are all very guilty. But where has it brought us? Has it brought us on our knees? Have we learned that by the works of the law we can never be saved? Have there been a few souls that have been given to confess, "Ah, Lord, with all my efforts, with all my repentance, then I have heard that I am so guilty still," and even that is the desire of the reborn soul, if it was possible, to never grieve the Lord no more. Even if a soul could come to a state of perfection, then it would still be their original sin, and all their former sins that are still on their account. What a blessing it is when the law may drive such a poor, uncovered sinner to the cross of Christ, to the hall of Caiaphas, by an eye of faith, to be given to behold that precious surety, the substitute for his church, and faith to embrace that meritorial work and to receive the application, as we have heard out of Isaiah 6, when the prophet has declared, exclaimed, "Woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among such a people, and that a seraphim has taken a coal off the altar and touched his lips and declared that his iniquity was pardoned." When we considered the third commandment concerning the name of God, then we must first examine what does that name all include. Is it only the names as they are revealed in the Scriptures, or is this commandment broader? Then I think that our boys and girls, to make it clear, when your name is mentioned, then everything connected with your life that is included in that name, not only who you are, what you look like, your words, your actions, your kindness, your obedience to your parents, to your teachers, it can be multiplied out. So it is also with the names of the Lord. Reverend Hellenbrook, concerning the Lord's names, then he is given to ask why the Lord has those names. Then in the first place to separate himself from other gods which really are no gods. And then in the second place to reveal something of himself. Then Reverend Hellenbrook has also explained that his names can never be separated from his essence. Thus the name of the Lord in this commandment, it is exceeding broad. Then it includes all his attributes, the communicable and the incommunicable attributes, and all the older ones should know what we mean by those terms. Then further, then it includes all his works in the way of providence and in the way of grace. It also includes his ordinances. The larger Westminster Catechism is given to state in answer 112 that the third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, his attributes, his ordinances, which includes his word, the sacraments and prayer, our vows, then they have included Lot's word that is a holy matter, wherewith a Lot, it is a religious ordinance, whereby there is a calling upon the name of the Lord. Thus that of course condemns all gambling and lotteries. Then it speaks further of his work and whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known. Thus then by renewal the third commandment, as we read in Psalm 119, that it is exceeding broad. Concerning the names of God, what a comfort for the church, but for all of us, that the Lord has given himself those precious and adorable names. I read in Acts 17, verse 23, that in Athens they have made an altar, and they have put a subscription on that altar to the unknown God. Just imagine, congregation, if the Lord has not given himself names, then how difficult it would be to bow our knees. And how would we address that great and majestic being? The names which the Lord has given himself, what a comfort they are for the true church. There are times that they may be given to plead upon those precious names. We could give many examples out of the Bible. In Genesis 17, verse 1, an Abram and a Sarah without the promised child, where they were becoming older. And then I read in that verse, I am the Almighty God. What a comfort that was for an Abram and for a Sarah, where it seemed that it became more and more impossible. When we consider the names of the mediator, because when it speaks in this Lord's Day of the name of the Lord, then it refers to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. To that end, we have read out of Isaiah 6 that those seraphims, that they have cried out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. For the church under the law, that have to confess that they are guilty of all of them, that are ashamed because of their sins and burdened because of their debt. Then when by faith they may be given to behold that precious name of Jesus, what a comfort it is for the church. Our second thought, what the Lord's name requires. We shall first speak of what is required before what is forbidden, although closely connected. Then the instructors, they have said, and briefly, that we use the holy name of God, no otherwise than with fear and reverence. The Jews, they had such a respect for the name of Jehovah, all capital letters in the Bible, Lord, that the Jewish people, that they would not mention, pronounce that name, but that they would say simply, Lord, with only the capital L. But the Lord has also given that most glorious name to his church, specifically in Exodus 3, verse 14, when Christ as an angel has appeared unto Moses and given the meaning of that great and glorious name, I am that I am. And now after 40 years, then it has pleased the Lord to appear. Not 40 years, because 40 years Moses was in the wilderness. And then the Lord has appeared unto him with that glorious name. And then he has went to the children of Israel. The Lord has sent the plagues. And after a certain time, they have come to Mount Sinai, where the Lord has declared in the introduction, I am the Lord thy God. And also in the third commandment, it is mentioned, the Lord thy God. Thus with fear and reverence, rightly confessed. And then the instructors at the end, they have said, and be glorified in all our words and works. Thus not only concerning our speaking and our confession, but concerning all our works, our walk, that the Lord may be glorified by us. We have heard on prayer day out of Jeremiah 14 verse 10 that his name is called upon us. And then further, with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us. That worshiping, that is in private, boys and girls, when we bend our knees also in this night before we go to bed, then this commandment has value to be worshipped by us, to have an impression unto whom we speak. And then, of course, we do not only have to address the boys and the girls, but then we do well to turn unto ourselves. Thus, concerning that worship in the home, in the church, concerning his holy word, concerning the sacraments, concerning the oaths which we make. Then further, glorified by us. And how is the Lord now glorified? When we come with all our needs, when we are given to trust in him, that we cast all our burdens and our sins upon him, then we understand for this commandment the necessity of the loving and irresistible work of the Holy Spirit in all of our hearts. That is a denying of ourselves. In Genesis 11 we read that the children of men upon the earth, that they were building a tower to make a name unto themselves. But now it is necessary that by his grace that we are given to deny ourselves and receive an eye upon that glorious God with a vehement desire that he may be glorified by us, that we come to his throne through that precious mediator. Christ has said unto his disciples before he suffered and died in John 16, the verses 23 and 24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, and what ye shall ask in my name, the Father shall give it unto thee." Those are lessons that the Spirit teaches his church, and also in that way for the church to come in their guilt. Then concerning our walk and our works, then the church is called to be a mirror of the holy name of God. Because I read in Romans 8 verse 29 that the church becomes conformable to the image of Christ. How many missionaries have been murdered by the natives, by the heathens, on account of the white man's walk, that the white man that has traded with those natives, and the almighty dollar had such a power that many times by wicked tricks and by deceit, that they have deceived those natives. Many times that they have even sold them strong drink. Thus in the way of business, when they were drunken, they could gain much. And for a native, a white man is a white man. How many have been murdered because of those things? We read for the Church of God that precious text, Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Blessed that people who by the work of the Holy Spirit may be given to trust in that name. Concerning their outward life, that tender and that close life, but also concerning their spiritual life, because we read in Acts 4 verse 12 that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved than that precious name of Jesus. What the Lord's name requires, then we are all very guilty. When we consider our prayers, when we consider our singing, when we consider the reading and the listening to God's word, then who in this evening would dare to raise their hand and say, now there is a commandment at least concerning the first part that I may go free? Then it is clear that we are all very guilty, but young and old, have we now become guilty indeed? Also concerning our worship, concerning our church going, concerning our prayers, concerning our singing, and may I ask you, where has it brought you? Has it brought you as a poor, a needy, undone sinner, and on account of that love, because for the true church, then there is a great love and adoration for the great and worthy names of the Lord, with a vehement desire that he may be worshipped by us and in us. Then how necessary now already the prayer of the publican, not to stand with the Pharisee at the front, but a smiting upon his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But this commandment, not only what the Lord requires, also what the Lord's name forbids, but let us first sing a Psalter 242, the four stanzas. Almighty God, thy lofty throne, for justice for its cornerstone, and shining bright before thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. And what follows, 242, the four stanzas. The third commandment, the proper use of God's name. Oh, what the Lord's name embraces. Oh, what the Lord's name requires. And now thirdly, oh, what the Lord's name forbids. That name, the word vain, that means empty, lightly, superfluously. And then the instructors, they have mentioned different sins. And then also concerning this commandment, then it is clear, if we may say it so, that there are lesser and greater sins, although that each sin demands death. We have the clear example from the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. Then there was a son of an Israelitish woman and an Egyptian father. And when there was a striving, then that son has used the Lord's name in vain. All the children of Israel were guilty of the third commandment. When we have heard our second point, then it is clear that there was not one among the children of Israel that were innocent. But now that son that is blasphemed, then all those that have heard it, they have laid their hands upon his head. And then the Lord has commanded that son must be stoned. Then the instructors are given to speak of perjury and rash swearing, which is also spoken of in Lord's Day number 37. So we shall leave it lie. Concerning cursing, that is to use blasphemous words to express anger and calling upon the Lord for judgment. Then the instructors have spoken of profaning or abusing that name in the way of swearing and of cursing, which, alas, is so common in our country. Jeremiah has also written in Jeremiah 23, verse 7, because of swearing, the land mourneth. What is now the reason when a people may curse, when they use the Lord's name in vain? In the first place, it proves that they do have very little knowledge of that name. In the second place, it is because of lack of love for that name. It can also be that it has become a custom. Sometimes when you are given to warn one that takes the name of the Lord upon his lips in the way of swearing, then many times they tell you that they did not even realize it, that it has become a custom. Can be because that they are unwatchful concerning their lips. It can be on account of anger. It can also be to be brave and to gain attention. In our country, then there is not so much difference made between swearing and between using rough language. There definitely is a difference, but this commandment also includes one with our lips, that we use very rough and bad language. Perhaps you shall say, but where is that now in this commandment? Then it is so that concerning the Lord's name, which the Lord has placed upon our foreheads, that we are bearers of that name, that each sin which we commit, that it is a transgression of the third commandment. And where I read in Matthew 12, verse 36, that for every idle word that we speak, that we shall have to give an account, then it also concerns when we speak very roughly, perhaps more a sin of boys than of girls, that they want to gain attention, but may we be given to understand that when we speak in rough language, that we shall not gain the esteem of our peers, but that they shall look down upon us, and the only friends we shall perhaps gain, that shall be those that speak likewise. Perhaps in the life of young men it can be that they use rough language to impress girls and young women. But if we think it through, then it is clear, and of course it is a blessing, when the weaker vessel, when they are present, that it may be used to also soften the characters and the speech of men. Of course, when young women, when they do not deport themselves rightly, when they dress in men's clothing, which is an abomination to the Lord, when they walk with the world, when they smoke, when they drink, or even go to bars, then you can understand that you shall not be so much respected. And let me add that our men do not make the wrong application. I am not saying that those things are right in the lives of men, because then surely when young boys and men, when they also speak in very rough language, and then such a young man would ask a girl to get to know her with the intention of marriage, if it may work out, because young men, you may never ask a young woman out without prayer and a desire, if it may be with the blessing of the Lord, that you may marry her. But then for a virtuous woman, one that has a tender conscience, if she hears a young man use rough language, and even more so, taking the name of the Lord in vain, and it is true, many times love is blind, and many a young woman has promised herself that with her kindness that she would change the man. But or when it may be thought through, or when there is a young man that uses rough language, and that even takes the name of the Lord in vain, then how it shall it be, it is true, in the time of courtship, then there can be a double man. But how shall it be then in marriage, when a young man uses rough language, and when he even takes the name of the Lord in vain? Then in marriage, what shall he not dare to call his dear wife, when we have come in the habit, boys and men, of using rough language? May it be granted that you may be given to pull those weeds out, because this sin of swearing, then it does no one good. It does much harm, and it brings much sin and guilt upon us. Then let us mention men's oaths. What are they? We shall mention a few words. Gosh, my goodness, gee. When you look in a dictionary, it is true. If you look in an older dictionary, the Dictionary of Noble Webster of 1828, which refers much to the Bible, then you cannot find those words. But in a secular dictionary, then that word gosh, they shall say, refers to God, and gee, to Jesus. Thus may we be kept from using a shortened form or an other form of God, that we may watch our speech. Then thirdly, when we speak of the works of the Lord in providence in a very degrading way, sometime you hear it and read it concerning the weather, that there is a word placed in front of weather, that is very wrong, because when we speak of the weather, then it is the God that controls the weather, and therefore how necessary that we ask the Lord that he may keep a watch before our lips. It can be that we use the name of the Lord in business life. Many examples in the Bible to appear religious, and in the meantime defrauding our fellow man. In Judges 3, I read of Ahab, who was went to the king of Moab, Eglon, with a dagger, and that he is said that he had a message from God, and he has killed the king. Think of Absalom, when he has come to David and told his father, when he was banished from the kingly house, that he has made an oath, and he had a desire to fulfill that oath, but with one thought, that he may become king. When we speak of the Lord in a mocking way, think of the 42 children that have mocked with the prophet Elisha. Thus, this commandment is very broad. Maybe a few souls that have struggled with blasphemous thoughts, not a desire, but it seems that they entered their mind concerning those thoughts, concerning those curses in the autobiographies of God's people. We read of different ones that have greatly struggled therewith. Reverend Brockle, in his reasonable service, has spoken thereof. And then he has given an example of a dweller in a house with people that come past that house and that throw bricks through the window. And such a one, he has boarded up his windows to the best, has used his efforts, and still those stones enter. The works and the devices of the devil, they are mysterious, but the devil is a great power. Thus, concerning those thoughts, then the question is whether we strive against them, whether we pray over them, whether we are grieved by them, whether we are given to beg the Lord that we may be delivered our forethought, what the Lord's name threatens. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing a so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? We have also heard in answer 99, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. Are there many amongst us, when they have heard of that silence, that they are grieved? Word is our calling when the Lord's name is taken in vain. When we are silenced, then the instructors are given to say that we are also guilty. Then we do well in this evening to stay with ourselves concerning that warning voice. Then the employer has the advantage that he has authority over his employees. That does not free the employee. How difficult, how many souls have begged the Lord that they may receive the opportunity and the freedom to warn those that take the Lord's name in vain. And now what is remarkable concerning the punishment of sin, that it does not so much speak of sinners that in an outward and bold way take the name of the Lord in vain. Thus the instructors are implying that those things ought not to be found in the church of Jesus Christ. Those are the sins of the world and those that have hardened themselves. And to that end, the instructors, they speak of those kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing. It undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded that this sin to be punished with death for the third time at the foot of Mount Sinai. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And now it is very clear that we are all guilty of this commandment, but may now ask you, where does it bring us? Are there perhaps those that say, I am a sinner, it seems to be so hopeless, no use ever trying, is that a solution? What shall you say concerning the third commandment? If you have to appear unconverted and without a Savior, without a mediator before the judge of heaven and of earth, may it please the Lord to use also our Heidelberg Catechism, our third commandment, that the Lord may use it as an arrow to be shot in your heart. And then the excuses, they shall fall away. Then you shall be given to confess against thee, thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, Lord. Is there yet a way for such a sinner that he may yet be saved? May it be used as a schoolmaster to Christ, where we have heard in this morning hour that that precious Savior, he has been condemned as a blasphemer. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? What think ye? They answered and said, he is worthy of death. Oh, that precious Christ, that he was willing to undergo that threefold death, even for a Peter that has swore with an oath so guilty of the third commandment, after such goodness, after such instruction, after so many blessings. May it be used in the life of the church, as I read in Psalm 130, where the psalmist out of the depth has cried unto the Lord and confessed in the verses 3 and 4, O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who then can stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. And then we have the gratitude that thou mayest be feared. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then our guilt is great. Also in the life of office bearers and their official duties, may it be used to bring a people into the guilt by the first time, by renewal. May it be used as a schoolmaster to bring guilty souls to Christ. May it be used in the part of gratitude, Lord, We may thank thee for another Sabbath day. We may commence another week. Graciously watch over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school. Keep us from harm and danger. May it please thee to keep us from an unexpected, but above all, from an unprepared death. Wilt thou bless the labor of our hands, grant strength, grant health, and wilt thou grant joy. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes. Graciously watch over us in the night watches, and may we awake refreshed with strength and courage to continue past life journey. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins also of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 306. The first three stanzas, praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore, and what follows. Psalter 306, the first three stanzas. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.